You don't just leave your pulpit like that. So I appreciate the trust. And once again, I can't say it enough. Let's just remember Brother Brent in prayer. You know, if you have just 30 seconds and he comes onto your mind, say, Lord, touch him. Do that 100 times a day if you have to. Lord, touch him. It means something. It does something. We are going to turn to Psalms chapter 139 tonight. And we're going to be reading verses 23 and 24. God has been good to us today already. He showed up this morning. And it's always a good thing when God shows up. Because when God shows up, something changes in you. You leave with something that you didn't come with, and you also leave without something that you came with. He somehow takes what we don't need, and he replaces it with a little piece of himself. And so I am thankful that he did not forsake us, that he showed up. His word is always true, and his word is always faithful. Will you read with me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your presence that we felt in here tonight, Lord. And I pray right now that you will touch my lips to speak your words just as you would have it be spoken. Help me not to add anything to your word, and help me not to take anything away from your word, but let it be powerful. Let it do whatever it needs to do in us, and let your name be glorified among us tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, you may be seated. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on the subject, a life-changing prayer. A life-changing prayer. I've learned that prayer can be easy, and I've learned that prayer can be hard as well. The easy prayers are the ones that we, or at least me, I most easily gravitate towards. Prayers like, Lord, fix this. Lord, give me. Lord, do for me. Lord, heal me. They are the prayers that require God to do something for us without requiring much more than the hope that he'll do it. Most often these prayers we pray, they are the easy prayers with the mindset of, well, I'll pray them, I'll ask this of him, and maybe he will and maybe he won't, but I'll ask him just on the off chance that he will do it. I know that I've often prayed those prayers. Am I alone tonight? I thought so. But then there are the difficult prayers. There are the prayers that involve more than just a passive asking of God to do. They're the prayers that require collaboration with God in order to see an answer. We often do shy away from these types of prayers because it requires something of us. Something that we may feel we cannot give. It requires a vulnerability that we may be uncomfortable with. An honesty in the way that we see ourselves that we may not be ready for. But how badly do we want God? How badly do we want to please him? How badly do we want more of him? How badly do we want to be closer to God? You see, wanting these things require that we ask of him difficult things. Not things that we feel may be difficult for him, because nothing is difficult for God. But wanting more of him requires that we ask things that require difficult answers. David was a man after God's own heart who often prayed difficult prayers. Search me, O God, is one of those difficult prayers. Have you ever prayed, search me, O God? If we are going to ask something of this, like this, of God, then there are some things that we must be prepared to do, because this is not a passive prayer. We must be prepared to listen to the voice of God, first of all. In Matthew chapter 19, the story is told of a man that came to Jesus asking, Lord, what should I do to have eternal life? Jesus responds to him, keep the commandments. And the man says to Jesus, well, you know, I've done all of these things since I was young. He then asks a question of Jesus, not being prepared for the answer. He says, what else do I lack? In other words, he was saying, Jesus, search me. Jesus says to him, go sell everything and give it to the poor and come and follow me. In Matthew 19 and 22, we see the young man's response. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He asked a question of Jesus that required a difficult answer, but he was not prepared for the answer. Because really what he wanted was approval. We must be careful that we do not ask certain things of God with the expectation of approval, because what we will always get is honesty. Oftentimes we want people to slap us on the back and say everything is great. Oftentimes we want God to say everything is great. But when we ask God to search us, we must be prepared to hear what he has to say, because he will always respond to that question with an honesty that will make us uncomfortable. If what we want is for God to approve of everything that we are and everything that we do, then this is not the kind of prayer to pray. The need for approval is pride in disguise, and pride prevents you from listening. Pride says, I'm good, everything is good about me. But when we say, Lord, search me and see if there's any wicked in me, his response is always going to be, there's something there, now let's get rid of it. If we are not willing to listen to his voice, search me becomes a futile, meaningless prayer. It's easy for us to see the shortcomings in others. It's easy for us to see the ways that other people don't live up to what we think that they should live up to. But when it comes to seeing them in us, it becomes a little bit more difficult. The natural reaction is to turn a blind eye and pretend that everything is good within us. Envy? Me? No. Anger? Me? Never. A hard heart? I'm as soft as they come. Impatience? Nah. Things just don't happen and people just don't do in the time that they're supposed to do. The problem is always others, but never me. But you see, the Holy Spirit will look past that hard exterior and see the things living in us that's not supposed to be there, and we must be prepared to listen. He will tell us what is there, but he will never force us to listen. The young man in Matthew chapter 19 asked a question, received an answer, but he was not willing to hear. He was not willing to face the fact that maybe there was something missing in him. Maybe he valued the things that he owned more than God. Maybe he had the wrong priorities. He wasn't willing to see the possibility that his heart was not as right as he thought it was. Brothers and sisters, could that be us tonight? Could it be possible that we've prayed this prayer but was not willing to listen and accept the answer? Is it possible that though we're serving him, there might be some priorities that need to change? Is it possible that our value system might just be a little bit off? Is it possible that there might be a little bit of anger, just a little bit of envy, just a little bit of selfishness, hardness in our heart? Is it possible at all tonight that our hearts may not be as right as we thought it was? Is it possible? Is it possible that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about some things that need to change, but we haven't chosen to listen, to hear, or to believe what he is trying to say? As much as I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Because if we want to make it to heaven, if we want to make it in this journey and make it to the end and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, search me must be a prayer that we are willing to pray. Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. After hiding from his sin and being confronted by the prophet Nathan, David chose to hear and see the wrong that was with him, that was in him. And because he chose to listen, his response became, change me, forgive me, cleanse me. I see the wrong that's in me. I see the wrong that I have done. Now, Lord, please wash me. Remember, this is the man that 1 Kings says that he did right in the eyes of the Lord, except for this one matter with Uriah's wife. This is the guy who had prayed, search me. And in David's life, we see that God always respected this prayer. This man was a man after his own heart. And David always listened and he always responded with forgive me and cleanse me. His complete desire was to be pleasing to God in every way possible. Tonight, are we willing to pray the prayer that says, search me, O God? Are we willing to hear the answer of our God? And are we willing to respond by saying, forgive me, cleanse me, my God? Is it our desire to be pleasing to Him in every way possible? It is impossible to live a life that completely honors God without ever praying this type of prayer. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, Jesus explains what our hearts are really like. In verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. I cannot search myself because of this. If I do that, I'm going to deceive myself. We need the Holy Ghost to search our hearts, because there are things that He will bring up that we will not like. If I have to do it myself, I'm going to lie to you and I'm going to lie to myself. It takes Jesus. It takes holiness to expose wickedness, because sin is never going to tell on itself. If I have to search my heart to see if I am Christ-like, I will lie to myself. Everywhere in the Bible, Old and New Testament, when it describes the human heart, it's never anything good. Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful. We'll lie to ourselves. We are wicked by nature. That's just the truth. Without Jesus, I am a wicked, wicked person. It is Jesus. It takes Jesus to cleanse me. It takes Jesus to make me holy. By myself, there is absolutely nothing good in me. If I were to start searching myself, everything that I would see would look perfectly fine. When I look inside, I'm going to see stuff that looks familiar. It looks like it belongs there. But you see, God has a severe allergic reaction to wickedness. He cannot even be in the vicinity of it and not be repulsed. So when He starts to search us, if there's anything there, trust me, He's going to find it. If our goal is to be holy like Him, then we will submit to His searching. We will begin to pray, Lord, search me, because I don't want anything in me that is not like You. If You don't search me, there's going to be stuff in me that is not like You. So I need You to search me. And as difficult as it may be to face, I'm going to listen to whatever it is You tell me. You see, if we live with people with allergies, we won't bring things into that house that causes a reaction for them. If we're inviting someone for supper, a question we might ask is, do you have any allergies that I should know about? A search me prayer ensures that God is not constantly having an allergic reaction in the house you share with Him. Will you submit to His searching tonight? After we listen and we open our eyes to the ways that we come short, the second thing we must be prepared to do is we must be prepared to work. This is often the hardest part of a prayer like this, because the things that he finds will not always disappear quickly. You see, a prayer that says, "Search me," is a prayer of sanctification. And sanctification is the process that he takes us through to make us more like him. If God tells you that there's some anger in you, most often he doesn't just miraculously make you peaceable. He doesn't just find stuff and then show it to us and wipe it away. He shows you stuff and then he says, "Now get working." Yes, the Holy Ghost will empower us. He'll give us ability. He'll stay with us. He'll be there to catch us if we fall, and he'll make sure that it's not more than we can handle, but we have to decide that we are going to change. We have to do the work. We have to feel the pain. We have to feel the consequence of the things he finds inside of us. We have to decide that anger is not who we are anymore. We have to decide that in the middle of anger, an anger-inducing situation, we're going to say, "No, no, no, the Holy Spirit is producing some things in my life, and anger is not one of them. I choose not to react with my heart, but with Jesus' heart." He helps us, he enables us, but we have to do the work. "Search me" is a difficult prayer, because he'll show you some things about yourself, and then he'll say, "Now get to work." Have you ever found something in your life that shouldn't be there, and then Jesus said, and then you say, "Well, Jesus, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Please take it away now." It doesn't really work like that. Often he doesn't just take it away. He makes us do the work. You see, the process of doing the work is what makes us more like him. When David said, "Lead me in the way everlasting," he was saying, "Take me through the process." Brothers and sisters, we will not make it to heaven without going through the process. We cannot skip the process. It's in the process that we become more like him. And the process takes work. There's nothing like working for years to get rid of jealousy out of your heart. Let me tell you, after that, no one could ever make you go through that again. You know what it costs. You know the pain. You remember the hours you prayed, the times you failed. And there's nothing, no way in this life that's ever going to make you go through that again. Am I alone in that tonight? I don't think so. If he takes offense out of the way, let me tell you, next week someone else is going to offend you. You're going to be angry again, and you're going to become offended again. But if Jesus says, "Here are the tools, here is my word, here is my spirit, here are godly relationships, now deal with it." Let me tell you, once you get free of offense after using the tools, somebody could come and spit in your face and you'll look at them and smile. Why? Because you know the cost of being offended. And while you were going through the process of anger and offense, he taught you how to show forgiveness and have compassion. As some things left your heart, the Holy Spirit deposited some other stuff that looked a lot like him. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 9. "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." Remember, he said, supplement your faith, add to your faith all of these things. That's work, adding, right? The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to remember to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sin. So it says that you have to develop in this way. We have to work. Yes, Jesus will do a work in us. He will help us. He will enable us to change. But we have to go through the process and make the decision that we are going to change. Growth does not just happened. And the life of a Christian is a life of constant growth. The minute you stop growing as a Christian is the minute you cease to be a Christian. The work is not easy. The work can be painful. The work can feel you lonely, leave you feeling lonely even though he's with you. The work is repetitive over and over again. Yes, thank you, Brother Gordon. It's day in and it's day out, but asking God to search you demands that you be prepared to work. To be like Jesus, we must submit to his searching. We must be prepared to ask of him, Lord, search me. We must be prepared to listen to what he has to say. And we must be prepared to work. But after this, we must be prepared to pray that prayer all over again. And I'm getting ready to close. You can come back to the music. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Can I say this is a verse for Christians? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest you fall. If you think you're all good, be careful. You're heading for a fall. If you think that nothing needs changing, be careful. You are heading for a fall. If you think that you are all that you're supposed to be in Christ, be careful. You are headed for a fall. If you think that you have arrived, if you've made it, be careful. You are headed for a fall. It's an everyday kind of prayer. Look inside me, Lord. See if there's anything that there is that it's not like you. Test me. See if there's anything that's coming out of me that's not like you. Lead me in your direction. Lead me in your word. Lead me in your spirit. Lead me to be more like you. It's a hard prayer, and that's no joke. If you're serious, then it's a difficult prayer to pray. Anybody can pray that prayer, but if you are serious on this journey, then it is a difficult prayer to pray. I'm going to have to recognize that there's some things in me, that there's some pretty nasty stuff inside of me, and I'm going to have to face it. Because he's going to have to teach me some things as I work them out. But there is a danger in not being willing to pray this prayer again. And that is, you fall. We must be prepared to ask God, search me, to hear his voice, to do the work, and then pray that prayer again. It's not something that you ask if you're all fine. It's not something that you ask if you know that everything is good in you, but it's something that you ask if you know that you cannot walk without his help. This is an everyday kind of prayer, so it must be a prayer that I am prepared to pray every day. Will you stand with me tonight? I'm going back to Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a life-changing prayer. This is a prayer that changes our lives, that changes our walk with Christ. Tonight, will you find a place to pray? Find a place to talk to Jesus, anywhere you'd like. You could do it at your seat or at the altar. It's up to you. But as they sing tonight, the only thing I want to ask is, Will you pray this prayer?